Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than
today. We continue our series on Thrive as we've been studying Romans chapter 12. We learned in verse 1 that this is the way to worship God, to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice and a holy sacrifice. In verse 2, we learned this is the way to know God's will for you. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In verses 3 to 5, Paul encourages us to be humble because we are all many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Jesus is the head and all of you together are His body and each of you is a part of it. We learned in verse 6 that in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We call these spiritual gifts, and we learn these gifts are to be used to serve one another. You discover your gift by trying a variety of ways to serve others. You can cultivate and develop your spiritual gift, but you need to be humble enough to serve outside your area of giftedness when needed. If you see something around here that needs to be done and nobody's doing it, it just might be that that is your spiritual gift in the church family. So in verses 6 to 8, Paul enumerates several spiritual gifts that we've talked about over the last few weeks. The voice of prophecy, the shoulders of serving, the mind of teaching, the feet of leadership, the heart of giving, words of encouragement, and arms of mercy. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul makes this comment about each of us doing our part. He says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And you know, that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. Now, the key to church growth is church health. You see, the church is not a business. It's not an organization, and it's not a social club. The church is a living organism. The church is the living and breathing body of Christ. So I've entitled today's message, Body Life. We want to talk about how we are to conduct ourselves living in this body together. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. If you'd like to follow along in your chair Bible, you'll find this on page 913. We're going to start in verses 9 and 10, but we will continue reading, so please keep your Bibles open there. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Paul writes this, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. So the first thing Paul wants us to see that's important in our body life is to have an authentic love for one another. Now, love is an interesting word, and we use it in a variety of ways. You might say, I love pizza, or I love my pet, or I love my children, or my grandchildren. But we mean very different things when we use that word love. In the English language is very imprecise in this way, but the Greek language actually gives four different kinds of words to describe different kinds of love. The first Greek word to describe love is eros, and that means a romantic love. The word storge means love between members of a family. Phileo means brotherly love. And all of these loves are conditional. But there's one unique love word that appears in the New Testament, and that is the word agape. And agape means unconditional love. This word agape was used by Jesus in John 13, verses 34 and 35, when he said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And this kind of love Jesus is talking about is unconditional. It's a commitment to love no matter what. Paul goes on to say this agape love must be sincere. Now the word sincere comes from a compound word, sin and sera, and it means without wax. It's a term that came from back in the days when people used pottery jars and jugs, and sometimes there would be a crack that would appear. But most of the jug was still useful, so they'd cover it up with wax so it still functioned. The an meaning without, and the hypokritos meaning hypocrisy. It was a love without hypocrisy. Now let me give you an example of what I mean. Perhaps you've been out driving and you ran into something like this, an intersection where there's a red light and there's a car in front of you. And the light turns green, but that car doesn't move. How do you respond? Some people get a little ticked off, like this lady. But you know, if you're a follower of Christ and you have an outburst like that, it's kind of embarrassing if you have bumper stickers like this on the back of your car and people see that outburst, because it's not consistent with who you say that you are. So this authentic love must be sincere or without hypocrisy. And you know, pretending to be a nice person all day, it's exhausting. It's so much better to just be real and to be authentic. In the article, Smaller Churches Have Advantages by Brandon O'Brien, he says the number one reason people return to a church after an initial visit is because they deem it authentic. The number two reason is the preaching, and the church's programs only pulled a 5% vote. What this means is that authenticity is a consistent factor in a person's choice to join a church community. He says, at the risk of oversimplifying this complex issue, I offer two statements to get us thinking about what authenticity means for the local church and why smaller churches are at an advantage for putting it to work. First, be yourself. The more glitzy something is, the less people trust it. The more professional services at larger churches can turn off some worshipers who are looking for a more authentic worship experience. Number two, make sure your behavior lines up with your stated convictions. Churches of all sizes will claim to be a family, but the larger the church, the more likely it is to be run like a business. The worship and programming become professionalized, and people become less involved. On the other hand, smaller churches more often truly function as a family, with all the blessings and challenges that come along with it. Paul says we should show genuine affection for one another, and we should take delight in honoring one another. You know, this was the amazing thing that happened last summer when we honored Joy and Mary Lou for serving on our worship team so faithfully for so many years. Wasn't that a delightful thing that we were able to do a card shower and give them a gift to honor their service? That was awesome, and we need to take delight in honoring one another. In James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the Message paraphrase puts it this way: real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. That's what authentic love is all about. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12 and pick it up in verse 11. Paul writes this, "Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." So the next thing that Paul says must characterize our body life is enthusiastic service. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 13, the apostle says, "Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good." So this enthusiastic serving of one another is so important in body life. The very word enthusiasm is a compound word, the en meaning for in or inside, and the theo meaning God. So when someone is enthusiastic, it means they have the Spirit of God inside. This means it's exciting, it's passionate, it's joyful, and the best part about enthusiasm is it's contagious. Now, when I was thinking of this word enthusiasm, there was a particular man that came to mind. Do you remember Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter? Crikey! You couldn't watch that show without seeing his enthusiasm for the world that God created. And it was contagious. It made you interested and want to watch too. And we need to have that same kind of enthusiasm in our church family as we follow Christ, because it is contagious. But unfortunately, some Christians are not enthusiastic. They develop an apathetic attitude. They're indifferent about things. They're joyless and lethargic and lazy. And it happened in the church in Rome, and Paul said to knock it off. Kind of reminds me of the guy that once said, "I was trying to figure out which is worse, ignorance or apathy. And then I realized, I don't know and I don't care." Well, we shouldn't have that attitude in the church family. Paul says we need to rejoice in our confident hope, we need to be patient in trouble, and we need to keep on praying, because that is the source of the power that gives us the strength to do what God asks. Let's pick it up in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. "When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality." So he says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. I'm going to call this generous hospitality. A simple reading of this verse might lead us to think that hospitality means that we should practice hosting our friends for dinner. But this kind of hospitality usually focuses on the host, the appearance of the home, the abundance of food, the generosity of the host and having the banquet. However, Christian hospitality focuses on meeting and taking care of the needs of the guests. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34, look what God commanded. "Do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself. Remember, you were once foreigners living in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So we should practice this generous hospitality even with those who might be different from us. Now, as we think about being hospitable, it's important to understand that people might come to church seeking relationships. And the atmosphere of our church family will either attract or repel them. But if we exhibit generous hospitality, it will help people to feel at home right here in the family of God and find a relationship with Jesus. I want to remind you, Jesus is the head of this body, and he's the one that has given us different gifts. All of us together are Christ's body. Each of us is a part of it. And because he planted us right here in our community, we are to do what we can to be the family of God so that people can come to know Jesus and not just survive out there, but they also can come and join us as we thrive. But Paul says there's three important ways to do this. We have to exhibit authentic love, we need to offer enthusiastic service, and we need to offer generous hospitality. So my challenge for you today is this. I want you to think about who is new to the church family. Who could you invite to lunch today? Who could you invite to join you in adult Bible fellowship next week? Who could you invite to your home for a game night? Who could you invite to go out and share a meal at a restaurant? When we do these kinds of things, it makes our church family stronger and helps as new people come in to the church family to feel loved with authentic love as they see our enthusiastic service and experience our generous hospitality. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you for these instructions from Paul that are so important to help us build a body life that is healthy and engaging and attractive. Father, help us to find ways to show authentic love to people around us, in our church family and in our community. Help us to engage them with enthusiastic service and help us to offer this generous hospitality that they just can't resist. Help us to do things in your name because this is your way. Give us the strength to follow your lead, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
Just to know.